Good evening and welcome to the BizNews Briefing. Today is Tuesday, the 24th of February, 2026. I'm Patrick Kidd. On tonight's show, why Eskom says load shedding could return in 2029. Property, construction and logistics spotlight today's SENS updates. Nassim Taleb's warning on AI-era volatility and Avi Ruit previews tomorrow's budget. Our top story tonight, energy expert Thomas Garner explains Eskom's warning that load shedding could return in 2029. He outlines what's driving the risk and what needs to change to avoid it. Garner spoke to BizNews journalist Chris Lane this morning.
So what has happened recently, as you know, load shedding has dissipated. It's given some reprieve to the public. And of course, as soon as that happens, then people think that the challenges are over. However, our challenges are systemic. And it comes a long way. And it is also as a result of the monopolistic nature of the animal, of Eskom. So the 2029 challenge that we see is that some of the old coal-fired power stations need to be decommissioned. And three of them need to be decommissioned within the next 2 years. That's Camden, close to Ermelo, and then also Grootvlei out to the Heidelberg area, and then Endrina also in Mpumalanga. And these three power stations are contributing currently to the grid. They're probably part of the stations that's in cold reserve, and they need to be decommissioned. So we can't rely on them post 2029. And then on the other side of the coin, we are all really working hard to see our economy grow. And as when our economy starts to grow, we're going to see electricity demand increase. So if your demand increases, same time that your supply is dwindling, and for planned reasons, then you got this challenge of a supply-demand imbalance, which could lead to further load shedding.
A good news SENS update today. Redefine flags a property upturn, Aving returns to profit, Supergroup grows, and liquidations fall.
South Africa's commercial property market is shifting from recovery to momentum. That's the big takeaway from Redefine Property's update to shareholders, which it held this morning. No load shedding and lower interest rates have made all the difference. Redefine says we are entering an upward cycle in property prices, something that was inconceivable just 3 years ago. The company's industrial and retail assets are thriving with near full occupancy and positive rental growth. While office rental contracts are still being renewed at lower rates, vacancies there are shrinking fast. The bottom line? Redefine expects to hit the upper end of its own earnings guidance. Troubled construction group Avenge is finally back in the black, posting an operating profit of 107 million rand for the 6 months to end December. While revenue slipped to just over 14 billion rand, Avenge's order book has swelled to almost three times that number, so there's plenty of work on hand. It isn't all smooth sailing, though. Troublesome international projects continue to drag, and management warns its Tshipi mining contract is not sustainable. The share price is down 29% since the beginning of this year, hit by the decision to hold on to rather than sell its Australian unit, McConnell Dowell. Logistics giant Supergroup is proving resilient in a tough economy. It posted a 7% revenue bump to almost 23 billion rand in the half year to end December. Operating profit climbed nearly 9%. The engine behind this growth? A strong showing in its supply chain and South African dealerships, which were fueled by booming sales of Chinese cars. But it's not all smooth driving. A depressed UK market has forced the group to offload its Amco logistics unit there. That's been something of a good news update this evening, and here's some more of where that came from. Bankruptcies in South Africa have taken a sharp dive. Data compiled by research firm Doug Parker Associates shows enterprise liquidations in South Africa fell sharply in 2024 and 2025, continuing a post-COVID downward trend. But there is a catch. Since 2015, a mysterious unclassified category has rapidly grown to dominate the statistics. It begs the question, was there a quiet structural change to how we record liquidations, or is there a new trend of business failure that we aren't simply tracking?
The Black Swan author and distinguished scientist at Universa Investments, Nassim Taleb, warns markets may be overconfident about today's AR winners. He says volatility is rising and expects churn, including potential software bankruptcies. He spoke to our partners at Bloomberg yesterday.
If you look at history, the car companies, airline companies, and of course the personal computer, okay, if you look historically, that those who started the business, the pioneers, are not necessarily the winners. As a matter of fact, they're probably more likely to be the losers. So now people take names of AI and say, okay, these are going to win, let's invest. I'm sure someone's going to make a lot of money in both software and hardware related to AI, but doesn't necessarily have to be these companies, because you have a lot of instability, both technologically and, of course, in geographically with AI.
So does it mean you expect bankruptcies in, let's say, software space?
Definitely. Plus, the effect on the stock market, as you realize, that the previous rally that we had was driven by a very small number of names. And now we probably have some rebroadening effect from redistribution. But a lot of the gains in the stock market, okay, are going to be eradicated by that. So this is why we're at a juncture of a lot of instabilities across many domains.
And by the way, Universa's annual return on capital is higher than 100%.
Yes.
So what's behind that?
Well, first of all, a tail event, but you go ask Grok. Grok represents what we do a lot better than commentator and understands the nature of our strategy. And remarkably, you know, this is an area in which AI has been beneficial to us, because they're very coherent in representing what we do for a living. You can ask, and we asked on Twitter, and it was very accurate. So basically, we work on hedging our clients against crises, and it's very nonlinear. We make a lot more during a crisis than we have exponential returns during these drawdowns. And even though the market comes back, we retain a lot of these gains.
Michelle's a mom who traded in her Fiat 500 for this beast right here. But why the momentous move, huh?
I needed something bigger to keep up with my growing son and his many sports bags.
When you traded in your car with WeBuyCars, was it an easy conversion?
I see what you did there. The process was just so easy. I was given a tablet, had to sign, and that was it.
Basically, WeBuyCars is no mess, no fuss. Okay, it was nice chatting. WeBuyCars, the easiest way to sell your car by far.
And closing out tonight's show, economist Davi Ruit tells South Africans what to look out for in tomorrow's budget. He says the big story is the revenue overrun and what government chooses to do with it.
I think the big story is certainly the revenue overrun, the commodity cycle, the gold price, platinum prices, all that. That's probably going to give the Minister of Finance, I would guess, 50 billion or so extra, quite a lot of money. But just to put it in perspective, a 1% increase in VAT will give him approximately 25 billion. So this is the equivalent of about 2% increase in VAT, just roughly speaking. So we'll see what the number is that he's going to come up with. And so that I would say is the big story, the revenue. That's one. And then a little bit more technical is another important thing is that because of lower inflation targets, by the way, and some other things, the yields on the capital market came down very, very nicely, something like 400 basis points. And that means that the Minister of Finance can borrow at cheaper rates now, basically. But of course, remember the money that he owes, that is, you can't do anything about that. That was, you need to be paying high interest on the money that he borrowed previously. But subsequently, interest rates came down quite nicely. And when he starts borrowing in the market now, he can actually borrow at 4 percentage points or 400 basis points less than about a year or a year or so off ago. But it will take some time before we can really start seeing that on the bottom line. But at least that's certainly, without a doubt, very good news. So the lower inflation targets is also benefiting the Minister of Finance.
That's been tonight's BizNews Briefing. I'm Patrick Kidd for BizNews.com. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you again tomorrow.